All right, can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, good. Thankfully, I have a big mouth, so you can hear me regardless. All right. Hey, Pastor P, she's not feeling well, had an incident with the dogs. Hurt her back, but, you know, God is good. Amen. We've already prayed, and we believe God for her healing, and she'll be up and about in no time. All right, but hey, as they say at Rhema, be ready in season and out of season. So, you know, we're continuing our message. We're continuing the series called Picked. All right. Last week, Pastor Peggy talked about, you know, sometimes you have been that person that was last picked on a team. You know, you pick that person, you pick that person, and then sometimes it even feels that they picked the injured person before they picked you for the kickball team. And sometimes life feels like that sometimes, but God has picked you. Somebody say, God has picked me.
God has picked me.
God has picked me. So let's go to Ephesians, and we're going to continue our study of Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 2. Going to start at verse 1. We're going to go through verses 1 through 4. So, chapter 2, in the ending of chapter 1, he talks about the position of the church, and he talks about how we've been made the head and not the tail, and how the enemy is under his feet. And then he switches over to chapter 2, and then he talks about us. He talks about you and me. He talks about you. He's talking to you directly. So when Paul said, and you he made alive when you were dead in trespasses and sin, he's talking about you. What I want you to focus on in here is that he says, you were made alive. You were made alive when you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein ye once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the lusts of the flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, somebody say, but God. Being rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. But God. You know, that's the thing about God. You can be in one way. You can come in one way. And then just that simple, but his presence will change everything. It will change everything. But what I want you to see here is that you are not dead. The Bible says you were made alive. When you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You were translated into the kingdom of life. You are not dead anymore. You are alive. That's the thing. He said, you were made alive. See, we have to resolve this truth. This is one truth you have to resolve. And if you don't resolve this simple truth, your Christian life will be a lot harder than it needs to be. You ready? You must believe what the Bible says over what you feel. I'll say it again. You must believe what the Bible says over what you feel. If you give in to your how many of you guys know feelings are fickle? You feel like hugging somebody one day, and then you feel like slapping them the next. Okay, it's just me? Okay, it's just me. I'm preaching to myself right now. You know, but feelings are fickle. They change from second to minute to microsecond to nanosecond. They just change. But so that's why you can't have faith in what you feel. You have to go by what the word says. You must believe what the word says over what you feel. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. We won't believe God to work in other things if we can't believe him when he says who we really are. If we can't believe who God says we are, how are we going to believe him to work in other things outside of ourselves? If you can't believe when he says you are the righteousness of God, if you can't believe that, how are you going to believe him for bigger things? God, you know, over everything else on this earth, you know what God is concerned about? You. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about your growth. He's concerned about the health. Look, if he can count the hairs on your head, don't you think he cares about you? Don't you think he cares about you? He's concerned about you. So he's trying to get you to see that you were made alive. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness into his dear son. And this is the thing. We must believe that we are who God says we are more than what our feelings say we are. We must believe what God says we are more than what our feelings say we are. Any of you ever had a negative thought about yourself? I have. Trying to quit. We can get over how to quit that, though. You know? But it happens to everyone. You have negative thoughts about yourself. And this is the thing. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God's word, or are you going to believe what your feelings say? Again, the same feelings that you can't trust on. We must believe what God says about ourselves. Over what we believe. If we don't believe in ourselves, we can't believe outside of ourselves. If we can't believe in ourselves, we can't believe outside of ourselves. And I'm not talking about this willing it and mind. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about simply believing what God says about you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about self-confidence. I'm not talking about self-this and self-that. All of that, it's good. But if the root of it, if the foundation of it is not based on what God said about you, all of that will fail. It will fail eventually. There is nothing that is stronger than than the word. And God's word says many great things about you. You know, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy feelings are truth. Did it say that? It didn't say, their mind is truth. Didn't say that. It says, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When you make the decision to believe what God says in his word about you over what you feel in yourself, you will go a long way. But that's what, it's a decision. It starts with a decision. We're not going to be perfect. Nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes. We all fall down. We all just make silly decisions. Yay, even stupid decisions. I'm there too. We've done it. But those decisions don't define who we are. You see, this is one thing you have to realize. I saw this quote. I think I saw it in Pastor Peggy's office. And it really stuck out to me. And it simply says, don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Now, some things that you think you do need to believe, but not everything. Not because a thought comes in, that means you have to believe it. That's why in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says to bring every thought into, thank you. You have to bring it in. You have to examine it. You have to examine it and compare. Okay, this is the thought. Does it line up with what the word says? No? Okay, I need to replace that thought with what the word says about me then. Amen. You can't believe everything you think. You're not that smart. I'm not that smart. Come on, man. We have this thing called a flesh that tries to give you thoughts. You have your feelings. And then sometimes we're in the process of renewing this mind that we have, like it says in Romans 12. You can't believe everything you think. That's why you have to go in the word and get in the word and let the word tell you who you are and not your feelings. But this is a good thing. So before I even get into that, when you have a negative thought about yourself, you need to remind yourself of the knowledge of God. Remind yourself of how God sees you. Actually, Calm, can you bring up 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? Everybody just turn there. I forgot my Bible in the back. Can I borrow your Bible just for a second? Okay. I got one. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go there. I want you to read this. Chapter 10, verse 5. It says, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. There are some thoughts that you have to capture. That's good. There are some thoughts that you have to capture. That's why it says, that's why I say, don't believe everything you think. There are some thoughts that come to you from the enemy, from your flesh, from the past, from what your mama said 20 years ago, from what she said yesterday. There are thoughts that come into your mind that you just can't accept all the time. And too many times we think that because I have this thought, that means it's true. No. Man. No. 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 If there's anything I can tell you, it's just no. We have to examine it by the word. And you see, this is why it's important to get the word in you. Because when you get the word in you and that thought comes, it should come against some resistance, because the word is telling you what the truth is, and the thought comes and it's going against what you know. And that's why you have to renew your mind. So when it comes against what you know automatically that you need to kick that thought out. That's why you have to build the word up in you. So what does God say about you? We're going to go over some things about what God says about you. Amen. How about that? How many of you guys would like to know what God says about you? And I want to, and a lot of these verses you're probably familiar with. But I want you to get into, I'm going to talk about this for a second. Don't get so familiar with the word just because you memorized it. Just because John 3:16 is very popular doesn't mean that it's not powerful. For God so loved the world, so loved. And one of my pastors growing up in the Virgin Islands, he did a whole message on the phrase, a whole series on the phrase, so loved. You're not just loved, you're so loved. Amen. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son. He gave it up for you. Give him up for you. As one of my teachers said in school, he said, he would have done that even if you were the only person on this earth. That's how much he loves you. With no guarantee that you will accept him in return. No guarantee. Has anyone here said the salvation prayer because you had a gun put to your head? No? Some other religions do that. But nobody here. If you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you made the decision. You made the decision. But what I'm saying is that don't get so familiar with the Word of God that you forget how much power it has. The Word of God is the most powerful thing, the force on this earth. You got to remember that. So when you speak the Word, remember the power that you're speaking. Because not only does that have power, your words have power. Hello. So when you add up the power that you have with your words and the word of the power that comes from the word of God and the power that comes from the Holy Ghost that's living inside of you, you have an unfair advantage. But a lot of the times, we just don't believe what the word says about us. We tend to believe what our feelings. So let's see what the Bible says about us. Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. You are a child of God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. If you have not done that, you will have an opportunity here today to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, you will have that opportunity today. And you can just continue listening because you'll need to find out why you want to do that. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can just write these down. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. The old condition has passed away. The person that you used to be, you're not that anymore. That's, you're not that anymore. That's the truth. Your feelings will tend to reside of what you used to be. And if you listen to your feelings, that's who you'll believe who you are. Again, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what the word says about you? Or are you going to believe what your feeling says about you? That's really what it boils down to. Guys, listen to me. You know how if you know somebody really well and somebody comes and tells you that, like, okay, let's just say Pastor Angel. If somebody was to come up and tell me that Pastor Angel cussed somebody out, I would not believe him. Why? Because I know this brother. Okay. Pastor Steve. Marisol. No, I'm just kidding. But I wouldn't believe him because I know this dude. We've watched football together. I've seen him at his highest points where he's like, yeah, yeah. He ain't let one word cuss slip out. I've seen this dude. I know him. All right? I'm not going to believe that. But guess what? God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows you better than you know yourself. And I'm not talking about the mistakes that you made. I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about who you really are. When you have to get a picture of this. When you were saved, you were over here. Then when you were not saved, you were over here. You were by yourself thinking all your crazy thoughts or whatever. And then, come Angel, Pastor Angel, real quick. Then when you got saved, you kind of stepped in. Oh, I should say, let me do it like this. Stepped in to God. You stepped into God. You are a whole new creature. You don't even look the same spiritually anymore.
Amen.
You never created. You were never existed before. You are a whole new creature. So before, with your life without God, this was you. And let's just say Angel is God. Hypothetically, people. Hypothetically. We step in and you get saved. It's God that the enemy sees. He no longer sees you. So when you speak the word, thank you, Pastor Angel. When you speak the word, he sees what God says because your life is in him. You are a whole new creature. You are not what you feel. If there's anything I want you to remind yourself of today, is that you are not what you feel. You're not. You're a brand new creation. Acts 17:28, it says, it is in him that we live and we move and have our being. And the New Life Version says, in him that we live and move and keep on living. You have to keep on living. And you continue walking with God, and you continue walking with God, and you continue walking with God. Just because you don't feel saved one day doesn't mean that that's the truth. Let me tell you something. If I only preached when I felt qualified to preach, y'all wouldn't see me much. I'm just being honest. But I know what the word says about me. And a lot of times I have to remind myself what the word says about me. Not fearfully and wonderfully made. Because of Christ's redemption, I'm a new creation of great worth. I am deeply loved, completely forgiven, totally pleasing to God, and 100% accepted by him. There has never been another person like me in the history of humankind, nor will there ever be. God has made me special, one of a kind, really somebody. Now, that's something I say almost every day. I literally say that almost every day from a book that I got. It's called The Search for Significance. You might have heard about it. I talked about it. Good, really good book. But that's something I say over myself every day. And a lot of the times, I don't even feel like saying. I'll even admit, there are some days that I forget. I know. It happens. But you know what? That doesn't change who I am. Because the work that God already did, and you have to remember this, God already did the work. He, You're just renewing your mind to agree with what God already did. You're just renewing your mind to what God already did. When he said in Ephesians chapter 1 that he made you alive, he made you alive. He didn't make you 50% alive. He didn't make you 75% alive. He made you 100% alive. But the thing is, you have to get over your feelings and believe what God says about you over your feelings. We all got to do that. And that's a process. That's a process. But God ain't got no more process to do. He already did the work. He already did the work. We just have to agree with him. Philippians 4:13, it says, I have strength in all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him. Somebody say through him. Who infuses inner strength into me. Ooh, I forgot how much I love this version. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Now, notice what that last part said. I am self-sufficient. Now, some people stop there and they say, I am self-sufficient. I don't need anybody else. I can do this on my own. I don't need you. I don't need you. No, you need something else. You need your self-sufficiency in Christ's sufficiency. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can't do this on your own. You are not built to do this on your own. You might be stubborn. Might be hard at it a little bit. But that don't mean you can do this on your own. You can lift weights. You could be benching 350. I don't care. You can't do this life on your own. I don't care. You need God. We were built to require God. Listen to me. You know how remotes are work? You know how what remote controls are dependent on? You know, for the TV when you turn on the finals game later today? You know what that remote is built on? It's powered by batteries. You know what? It's designed that way. If you take out the battery, it's not going to work. And then you might have to get up and push the button. But that remote won't work without the battery. Your life doesn't work the way it's designed to be without God. Amen. It just won't. It won't. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. And I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him. He infuses inner strength into you. Guys, you have what it takes to overcome any storm in life. You have it on the inside. It's already there. His strength is inside of you. His love is inside of you. You have people that pray for you. And not only that's inside of you, you have a church that prays for you. You have people that God will send to you. You have friends. You have people all around you. You can make it through any storm because of him that lives inside of you. Not just because you just want to do it that way. That's not how this works. You have the strength that lives inside of you. But again, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what the word says, or are you going to believe what feelings say? That's the decision. Today, in this 9:30 service, that's the question you need to answer. Are you going to believe what the word says about you, or are you going to believe what your feelings say about you? Which one? And I guess you, look, this is a decision. You can't get hands laid upon you to make this decision. That's not how that works. It's a decision. Some people like to believe, I'm going to pray about this. I want to pray about that. No, you can't pray about a decision. It's a decision that you're either going to make or not make. God said, I give you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. What's the next phrase? You choose. You choose. You're going to choose whether you're going to believe what the word says about you, or you're going to believe what your feelings say. We got to believe, and we just got to believe what the word says. And see, look, it's a process. The decision is like that. But to build your strength on your decision, it's a process. Feelings follow decisions. Pastor Peggy has said this a million times, and it's the truth. Feelings follow your decisions. But a lot of the times, we like to let our feelings make our decision for us. And if that's the case, you're going to lose every time. Feelings follow decisions. We have to remember that. All right, but you are built for everything that comes to you in your life. Now remember, these are all things that God has said about you. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God has made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. When you make a mistake, you don't have to pay for it. You don't got to sit there and pray for 3 hours for God to forgive you. No, he will forgive you right there when you ask for forgiveness. Now, the thing is, you have to go and ask him for it. The thing is, you got to go and ask him for it. You know, this whole, well, I'm getting ahead about myself. Let me come back here. In Romans 8:1, it says, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. See, and then 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Holiness, hello, holiness. That's another message. Romans 8:37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You are more than a conqueror. These are things that God has made you. What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what God has said about you, or are you going to believe what your feelings say? You got to believe what the Bible says about you. You know, you choosing to believe what God says about you is one of the smartest things you can do. You choosing to believe what God says about you is one of the smartest things you can do. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. You're going to live life handicapped if you don't make that decision to believe what God says about you. You're going to leave yourself handicapped. See, this is the thing. Our mind will be formed from at least three places. The Word, Romans 12, renew your mind to the Word. Outside counsel, you know, people that you talk to, you know, your friends. This is why it's important to have godly friends, so they direct you back to God and not craziness. So, you know, your mind will be affected by that. But if it's not affected by those two, it will default to being affected by your feelings. That's its natural default. See, Proverbs 28:26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. That's what the Bible says. That's not Devo. Guys, we cannot, again, don't believe everything that you think. We need to examine every thought, every action, every feeling in comparison to the Word. I am not saying not to have feelings. Guys, please understand me. I'm not saying not to have feelings because you have it. You have it. Don't get over spiritual on me. We have feelings. Like I said, sometimes you want to hug somebody and sometimes you want to slap them upside the head. You have feelings. It is not unspiritual to recognize that you have feelings. I really want to make that point straight and clear. All I'm saying is don't let your feelings make your decision for you. Don't let your feelings determine how far you're going to go in God. Don't let your feelings determine that. You are picked by God. You're a hand chosen by God. You have a call on your life that nobody else has because it's only designed for you. But a lot of the times we like to get in our feelings. You know, you ever heard that phrase? You all in your feelings? A lot of these athletes seem like that anyways. you can't get all in your feelings about stuff. You can't stay there. You feel your feelings, but don't let that determine who you are in Christ. The Word determines who you are, not your feelings. If you can do that if you want to, but you're going to live a defeated life. I'm telling you that right now. He made you. So, like I said, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. So when God said in his Word, you have been made alive, it is our job to believe it. When the word says you have been made alive, it is our job to receive it. Why do you tithe? Why do you give an offering? Because you got in the word and you saw what the Bible said about it and you did it. It's the same principle about who you are in Christ. You got to get into the word to believe it. You got to get into it. Guys, we could never get to a point where we cannot study the word of God. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You need the word of God. You need prayer in your life. You need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Gosh, you need to pray in the Spirit. And I'm checking myself on that too, because I need to pray. I was at somebody's house and they had this written on the wall and they said, "Have you prayed in the Spirit today?" Who was that? Was it your house? I think so, yeah. Yeah, they said, "Have you prayed in the Spirit today? Have you prayed in the Spirit today?" You need to ask yourself that question every day. You need it. You cannot function. I'm trying to get it out. Help me. I'm trying to get it. You cannot function in this life to a high standard, to God's standard, if you don't pray in the Spirit. You might be able to get to a certain level, but man, you need, when God is out there, when the Holy Ghost is just out there setting up things for you, and you don't even know how it's coming together. You don't know how it's coming together. You seem like the least likely person to be in that position or to get that qualification. But you know, the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you, and you've been praying out the future for your life, and whoo, you know, things that start happening for you, and you'd be like, "Well, what's this?" It's because you took some time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Got some help. That wasn't even in my notes. That was free. Amen. See, when you give in to your feelings, it leads us to living like verses 2, 3, and 4. It says, "When you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the son of disobedience, among whom you once all lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and you are by nature children of wrath." When you get into your feelings and you start listening to your feelings, that's going to be the description of your life. You're going to give in to the lust of the flesh. You're going to give in to that when you're living by your feelings. That's just going to happen. That's your default. When you don't live by what God's word says, you're going to default to your feelings. And that's why we have to get and remind ourselves what God's word says about us. Lots of people profess Jesus and Lord, but still struggle in sin. But that's because they don't understand that they have already been delivered. They don't understand that they've already been delivered. We all make mistakes here, there, and everywhere. It happens. But I'm talking about the habitual, this whole thing of God will just look over it because he's just going to automatically forgive me. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. It doesn't work that way. We are delivered because the Bible says we are. Now notice, I want you to notice the tense, the tense, like present, past tense, future tense, that tense. All right, you know, I like math. English, that's one of those things that the Holy Ghost helps me with. Praise Jesus, and Grammarly. Anyways, notice the tense of these verses. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And you did he make alive." That's present. He made you alive. You are alive today. That's who you are right now, right this second at 10:24 a.m. on June 3rd, 2018 AD. Got to be specific for people. No, that's who you are right now, okay? But then it goes on to say, "You were dead in trespasses and sins." What's were? Past. You used to be dead. in trespasses and sin. All right? Now, he said, also it said, once walked according to the course of this world. Once walked. That's what? So that's not who you are anymore, right? That's who you're not. That's not who you are anymore. What did Philip Sauter say? The past is the past and it shall be for. You forget about it. That's who you were. It also says you were once all lived according. You all once lived in the lust of our flesh. Lived. That's who you was. That's who you were. That's whatever it is. It happened. It happened. It's gone. It didn't happen. It didn't happen anymore. I laugh sometimes when God told when I wrote a book. I'm like, God, are you serious? Anyways, we also once lived in the lust of our flesh, and were by nature children of wrath. That's who you were. But look what it says. But God. Somebody say, but God. Being rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's present. God is rich in mercy. God is rich in love. God is rich in that. He is rich in it. That's who he is right now. Because now look at this. Jesus didn't allow the mistakes. This is the one thing I want to get into this because, you know, some people trip when they get into this whole grace movement. God deals with sin and he addresses it. The woman at the well, he told her, where are your accusers? Okay, they're gone. Okay. But, you know, the one thing that cracks me up about that event is that, you know, the men caught them and caught her in the very act of adultery. Where were they to see that she was in the very act of adultery? They were messing up themselves. Yeah, I don't even need to explain that anymore. They shouldn't have very acts of adultery. What you doing? Were you in the closet? You in the window? What? Where you at? All right. So they caught her in the very act of adultery. Anyways. So now she comes and she, every time I read that in the Bible, it just I get angry on the inside. Like, look at these knuckleheads trying to talk her about in the car in the very act of adultery. What you do? And that's why Jesus said, first one without sin, throw the stone. You without sin, throw the first stone. The first stone. So there was somebody without sin. They could have thrown one, and then everybody else could have thrown one. But he was so confident in what happened, he said, throw the first stone. Guess what? None of them could have done it. Because they were too busy catching her in the very act. Anyways. But look at what Jesus did. He told her, go sin no more. Go sin no more. And another part in earlier John chapter 5, he told another man, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said, stop sinning lest the worst thing come against you. Jesus dealt with sin. He dealt with it. Okay, so this whole thing of I'm just going to go do what I want and do what I want and grace is going to cover me, you playing with fire. You playing with fire. And this is the thing. This is the thing about that. God is full of grace and God is full of mercy. And that's a great thing. But we have to go to him to receive it. We have to go to him to receive it. You know, we can't just do, people just, I love my kids. I love Derek and Anaya. But you know what's something I do? There are some times that when they're in trouble, they don't have certain privileges. How about that? Go ahead. How about that? Sometimes their iPad gets taken away. Sometimes they can't watch TV. Oh man, I'm a horrible parent. I'm a bad, bad father. That's who I am. I'm just kidding. You know, how about that? So guys, you know, the Bible says God disciplines those he loves. He disciplines those he loves. You can't just go through life just, blah, 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 grace is going to cover me. That is not what grace is for. Grace is the empowerment to do what you can't do on your own. So you need help getting over that stuff that you're dealing with? Go to God. Amen. You got to go to him. Salvation, see, don't confuse what's made available for what's automatically going to happen for you. Grace, mercy, and love. Salvation, let's forget even that. Salvation is made available for every person. But you got to go to him to receive it. Yes. You cannot get something unless you receive it. I mean, like, seriously, you can't, if Pastor Angel's going to give me $10 and I don't receive it and I run from it, I can't receive it. That's basic, right? That's simple. So grace, mercy, salvation, it's the same thing. You can't receive it unless you go to God to get it. And he's the only person that has it. He's the only person that has it. You can't get that from doing good works. You can't get that from being good enough. You can't get that. You can't get it through heritage. Honestly, you can't get it through. Follow me when I say this. You can't get it through the ritualistic reading of the word. Ritualistic reading of the word. You got to get on your knees. Well, okay. You don't have to get on your knees. I get on my knees most of the time. But, you know, you need to go talk to God. You need to go have a conversation with him. That's how you receive Gracie. Gracie. That's how you receive grace and mercy. Wow. That was fantabulous. Now, that's how you receive grace and mercy. Like I said, if you're stuck in sin, it's not the sin problem. You need to renew your mind to what the word says about you. And let your actions reflect what you believe. Okay, we all make mistakes. Good. But even in the mistake, whether or not you go back to God for forgiveness and to receive his grace and your mercy, that will determine what you believe. Your consistent character is a reflection of what you believe. That's why the Bible says renew your mind. Renew your mind. Too many people are trying to deal with sin problem by dealing with the sin. You got to deal with your mind. And realize that God said what he said about you. He said that you were made alive. And that's why you can go to him, because he is full of grace and mercy. Because really, this is the thing. I mean, look, you are alive because of God's great mercy and love. 1 Peter 1:3 says, Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because of his great mercy. That's why you've been made alive. Hebrews 4:6 says, Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Somebody say the throne of grace. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. If you don't go to God, you don't really believe you need him. I'll say that again. If you don't go to God, you don't believe you need him. You believe that you can do it on your own. Have fun with that. Yeah, how's that working for you? And I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm just saying this as a checkup. When you go to God, it is the reflection of how much you believe you really need him. That's the truth. I don't care what you say. See, our prayer and word life is a reflection of that, of what we believe. And that's, I guess I said this already. Grace and mercy is not automatic. You got to go to him to receive it. Grace and mercy is not automatic. You got to go to receive it. It is made available Yes, but you receive it being made available and you receiving it are two different things. You know, like I said, there's the stories of people that lived on the street that had millions of dollars in an account somewhere, but they didn't know about it. So they didn't know about it. So they didn't receive it. Even so, there are people like, you know, this one movie I watched, I think it was, what was it? Tomb Raider? She was a millionaire. Her dad left her a whole bunch of money, but she didn't want it. She didn't want it. It was made available to her, but she didn't want it. So she didn't receive it. Just because God has made something available doesn't mean that you are automatically receiving it. You have to go to Him to receive it. You got to go to Him to receive grace and mercy. You have to go to Him. There is no other way. Sometimes we like to make up our own way, but there is no other way. To receive salvation, you had to go to Him. So if you receive salvation that way, what makes you think that you can receive grace and mercy and everything else, all the other things of God, automatically? He loves you automatically, but for you to receive His love, you got to go to Him. Grace is made available for you automatically, but you got to go to Him to receive it. It requires action. It requires you doing something. How about that? You got to do something. Man, you... Look, I got to go. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows His love for us that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love is made available. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, it says, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. We are called to be steadfast. We are called to be immovable. We are called to just keep on going. But you have to believe that you are picked. You have to believe that He made you alive. You cannot just revert back to what you feel. If you revert back to what you feel, you will lose every time. We got to make the decision, the conscious decision, to believe what Jesus said about us and not what our feelings say we are. Let me tell you something. Feelings talk to you. It'll tell you that you're worthless. It'll tell you that because of what you did, you're not qualified. It'll say, because this happened to you, you're not qualified. It'll say all of that. But you know what? You need to get into the Word and let the Word combat what those feelings say. Because once you consistently do that, your feelings will change. They will change. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Effort is required. Sometimes I wish we could, I think I need to make a t-shirt or something. Effort is required. Effort is required in the things of God. You got to do something. You're not saved by works, but you got to do some works. Faith without works is what? Okay, the works don't save you, but you still got to do something. You still got to get in the Word and say what it says about you and remind yourself about what it says about you. And just because you have it memorized doesn't mean that it's working in your life. I got some, you know, I was a math person. I had some formulas memorized. Sound like Madea. You know, got it. But, you know, I don't put them to use every day. Okay? I don't put them to use every day. You have to get the Word in you. You have to make the Word alive in you, and you do that by speaking the Word. You got to get it. You got to speak it. You got to speak it out. You got to get it in you, and when you get it in you, you speak it out. Because even when you speak it out, it's coming right back in because you're speaking it out, and it's coming right back in. And it's a nice little cycle that you got going on. But initially, you got to get it in from the Word so you can speak it out, and then when you start speaking, it could go right back in, and you start speaking that Word. You ever caught yourself after you stopped speaking the Word and you kind of find yourself, what happened? You stopped speaking the Word. And we've all been there. We've all been there a time or two. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But guess what? You catch yourself. You go to the throne of God and ask for some grace, ask for some mercy. You receive it, and you keep on stepping. You continue moving forward. Choose to believe what the Word of God says you are, not what your feelings say. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father God. Lord, I'm so in awe of you and your word. Your word is the truth. And your word tells me who I really am. And I thank you that as this week and the next weeks and months that you remind us of Holy Ghost. You're the one that brings things back to our remembrance. You remind us when we need to get in the word to renew our mind. And you'll remind us of what we already know, of the truth of God's word. And we just thank you for that and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today, with every head bowed, every eye closed still. If you're here today and you've never, ever, once in your life accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, today is your day. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the day. Because without him, you're going to hell. I'm telling you. And you don't want to be there. But with him, you get to live an everlasting life in heaven. So if you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today, I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. Second invitation, if you're here and you've just stepped away from God, you've turned your back on God. You said, I don't want anything to do with God. But now you want to come back to him. I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. And I felt led to say this. For anybody else that's here, and you feel like one mistake or two mistakes that you made this week has just separated you from God, you just need to ask for forgiveness. It's really that simple. It's really that simple. You ask for forgiveness and you just continue moving forward. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. But we are all brothers and sisters here today. Glory to God. You guys can lift your heads. Oh, man. Choose to believe what the word says about you, not what you feel. Choose to believe what the word says about you, not what you feel. You're going to feel it. It happens. But just don't believe it. Get into the word. Get into the word. Again, effort is required. To have a powerful Christian life, effort is required. It's done by God's grace, but you still got to go to him to receive that grace in your life. His mercy is available, but you still got to speak the word and make that power available in your life. We're about to receive tithe and offering. And I forgot mine in the car, and in a cash envelope. So I gotta go exert some effort to go get it for next service. But I want the power of God working in my finances, so that's why I'm gonna do that. Effort is required, y'all. Let's make sure we're believing what God says about us and not what our feelings say. And we thank you as we receive our, take a second, prepare your tithe and offering.